This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could tune in. In this week's cover article, we continue our topical comparison of scriptures and Roman Catholic teachings. Along with his co-host, Jim Tetlow, here's T.A. McMahon.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for God's specific communication to mankind, for what God says about himself, for what he says about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Jim Tetlow, the head of Eternal Productions and producer of the videos The Good Test, Countdown to Eternity, and Messages from Heaven, and author of the book by the same title. Thanks for joining me on According to God's Word, Jim.
Tom, thanks for having me on again.
Our topic for today's program and our next three or four programs will be a discussion of Jim's book, Messages from Heaven. Now, Jim, first of all, give us a general idea of what the book is about and then what motivated you to write it.
Well, the book, as the subtitle indicates, is a biblical examination of the Queen of Heaven's messages in these last times. There have been multiplied reports of apparitions calling themselves or itself the Queen of Heaven or Our Lady or the Mother of God. This is the Catholic Mary. And these reports have been increasing dramatically in the last, let's say, 50 years. As a former Catholic, I was interested in these things because at these sites, miracles were reportedly occurring regularly and increasingly. And once I read the Bible and got saved, I decided to research this topic over the years. And the video and book are the byproduct. And so the book, what this does is it goes through and talks about what's happening, gives people the background on how mammoth this phenomena is. Currently, there are tens of millions of people who are faithful pilgrims to apparition sites and who pray to Mary every day. And it is a growing occurrence that is causing many, many people to turn, I believe, away from the true Bible, the true Savior, and turn to a false Savior. And we get into that in the ending of the book.
Why would you take on a topic like this?
Well, in chapter one, we deal with the supernatural or paranormal aspects of this. And of course, we as humans are very curious on what's happening in the supernatural paranormal realm. It's natural for us to be curious and also intrigued and drawn into that. The Bible warns against that. And yet the Bible also says that in the last days, there'll be many, many deceptions in Christ's name. They're not going to come in Buddha's name. They're not going to come in Confucius' name, but they're going to come under the vernacular of being Christian. They're going to come in Christ's name, and there will be lying signs and wonders. In fact, Jesus, when he talked about the last days, the very first thing he said is beware of deception in his name. False prophets, false messengers, false Christs coming. And chapter one, it looks at the statistics. And Tom, you're familiar with what's happening, but for the listener's sake, at apparition sites such as Medjugorje in Bosnia, there have been about 30 million pilgrims since the apparitions began in 1981. And some of the visionaries still receive apparitions regularly. And some of these contain very interesting messages. Some of them are prophetic. Some of them are apocalyptic. But most of them seem harmless. Some even say, read the Bible, turn from sin. And you say, well, that's biblical. But if you dig a little deeper, you'll find that her way to heaven is by good works. Her way to heaven is through various sacraments and various achievements that you and I would perform to try to merit heaven. And of course, that's contrary to the Word of God. And so it's a very subtle deception. It's very attractive, and it's drawing many, many people. So the reason for producing the video and writing the book was to turn people back to the Word of God, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and not to chase after a sign or a wonder, because Jesus said a wicked generation seeks after a sign or a wonder.
Mm-hmm. Jim, the thing I appreciate about the book is sometimes when people get into an area of theology called apologetics, that is defense of the faith, too often we've seen, especially of late, they come out swinging, I'm not challenging necessarily the integrity of what they do, although in some cases it may be questionable. But what you do here is you're trying to be as honest and fair with the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, even within these apparitions, what they're saying. So you go about it in a way, let's evaluate the facts. Let's see what they're saying. Certainly this is happening. In other words, you just don't go hacking your way through this, just kind of blowing everything out of the water, just because you may disagree with it. As a matter of fact, as I read through the book, it's such an even-handed presentation that for the first couple of chapters, you know, I know you, but I would think most readers would say, well, I'm not really sure where he's going here. And I think that's important. In other words, you're really addressing this in a very fair and honest way. But you really need to do that as a Christian, don't you?
Yeah, we're told in the Bible to preach the truth in love. And my heart is for the Catholic people. I was Catholic for 29 years. And we should respect Mary. And we have a whole chapter about Mary and how she is a wonderful role model. And we can look to her example in the Bible the same way we can look to a Daniel or a Paul or a Moses or a Sarah as a woman of faith who believed the Lord. And so first we look at why are people drawn to these things? Yes, there's miracles. And of course, if you're sick, you're looking for a healing. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're spiritually searching, it seems these are supernatural, so this would be a place to search. But the Bible warns. The Bible warns specifically that there would be deceptions and that the gospel would be perverted, preaching another gospel and another Jesus. And Satan will preach morality if it serves his purposes. He's more interested in taking a soul captive than he is in abortion, for example. And so you'll find the apparitions are pro-life. And you say, well, that's good. And they're pro-morals across the board in most cases. But she preaches a false gospel. And so we lay it out gently and show people that we understand why you're involved in this, but please read the Word of God. Seek the Lord. He's a jealous God. He will not give his glory to anyone else. And she is undermining that because many times people are bowing down to her, praying to her, building temples. In fact, she instructs them over and over again to build a shrine for me. This is not the humble Virgin Mary of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Jim, going back to some of the statistics that you present, the numbers are absolutely staggering. 15 to 20 million Marian followers visit a single shrine in Guadalupe, Mexico every year. Mm-hmm. You have Bosnia, an estimated 30 million pilgrims have visited Medjugorje since the apparitions began in 1981. Even a woman like Nancy Fowler, who has a farm in Conyers, Georgia, had at one point received up to 100,000 visitors in one day. It's as though you have to do is hint that there might be something going on of a spiritual nature related to Mary. Well, there's one other example I find interesting. Now, even a National Shrine Grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes, I mean, there's no apparition there, but it's just a shrine, and they have upwards of 500,000 people per year.
Yes. And when the apparitions appear and the messages that are being proclaimed, she appears as a loving, gentle mother.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a mother. Most people look to their moms with affection. The words that the apparitions say are very pious, very moral, very sweet, tender. The miracles that are being performed, or at least reported miracles, such as healing, not just physical, but spiritual, where people were hooked on drugs and they aren't anymore, or they were in some sin and now they're back with the Catholic Church. Everything on paper looks good until you realize she's not proclaiming the gospel. She's not pointing to the true Jesus. And people who are listening right now may say, what are you talking about? Of course she's pointing to the real Jesus. But as you dig deep, you realize she's pointing to the Eucharistic Jesus. She's pointing to a Jesus that does not exist. It's a false Jesus, not the King of Glory, not the God who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And by preaching a false gospel, of course, that undermines and that shows the origin of this deception is from Satan himself. It's the perfect deception for the natural man because it appeals to all our senses and appeals to our conscience even in the sense that she says convert. But when she says convert, it isn't to faith in the Jesus of the Bible alone. It is convert to the Catholic Church, convert to her Immaculate Heart, convert to the Eucharistic Jesus.
I was searching for your book for one specific statement that you make, and I can't quite find it, but perhaps you remember it. What I'm getting at is that when you say this is a phenomenon that appeals across the board, next week we'll get into the numbers with regard to Hindus, Muslims, for example, and their attraction to Mary. But what I was thinking about was France. Now, most people would say that's a place in which Christianity died out a long time ago. Yet somewhere here, you talk about the number of shrines to Mary in France.
Yeah, there's over 900 shrines to Mary. I think the number is 937. And you got to realize that France, though they're Catholic in name, many French don't even go to the Catholic Church regularly.
Right.
They don't really listen to the Pope. They're quite liberal in their ethics. And yet when the Queen of Heaven speaks and when there's a possibility of some kind of miracle, some type of draw that's supernatural, it doesn't matter to these people whether she is an approved apparition by the Catholic Church. It's a matter of, is something happening and will it titillate the flesh? Will it appease me and meet me where I'm at and give me what I think I need? And you find that not only in France, there's over 1,500 Marian shrines in Italy.
Wow.
1,500. Now, nowhere near that many shrines to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Jim, the other thing, you mentioned that you grew up Roman Catholic. I grew up Roman Catholic. Let's see if we had the same kind of thoughts about Mary growing up, although you're a lot younger than I am. But, Jim, Mary, to me at least, and to the people that I grew up with, she was kind of a backdoor deal. And what I mean by that, in a sense that you could get away with some things with Mary, but you went to her, she could cut you some more slack. That was our thinking and it was our attitude about Mary. Whereas Jesus might be a little stiffer, a little bit more problematic, Mary seemed to be a way to kind of back off on some issues. In other words, Mary was someone who you could get more comfortable with. You could maybe receive some things that you couldn't get from Jesus. Anyway, that was my mentality. What about yours?
Definitely. I perceived that Jesus was my judge. He died for me. He did love me, and he opened up the gates of heaven. But now I need to get up there. How am I going to get up there? I need someone who was compassionate, who could be a mediator, who was gentle. And she, you know, when I walked into my church, I went to Assumption of Our Lady. When you walked into the vestibule, you saw a towering statue of a lovely Mary with her arms open.
Mm-hmm.
And then over on the side was a emaciated, crucified Jesus. The picture you got there was you come to the mother. She's got the authority. She's got the arms open. Jesus is serving a purpose, but he's kind of helpless to do what I really need. He opened the door. He's done with his part of the work.
Right.
It's totally unbiblical, and I never heard from apparitional messages or the Catholic Church the true gospel. And I just want to take a moment here, if we have a chance.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I was witnessing at the mall this year and came up to a man who was Catholic, and he was a nominal Catholic. He said, oh, yeah, I go every week, but. And as I went through and I asked him, how do you think you're going to get to heaven? He says, well, I think I'm a good person. I go to church. And so I used the Ten Commandments like the Bible says, and I went through some of them. And by the time he admitted that he had broken several, he admitted to being a blasphemer, a liar. He admitted to looking with lust, so he was an adulterer too. And he had hatred. He was a murderer, according to the Bible, in heart. And he was very convicted. And all of a sudden, he became an adamant Catholic. He went from nominal Catholic to, well, I'm trusting the church. And I started to explain to him, what is the penalty for these sins? He didn't know. I said, the penalty, the Bible says, from Genesis to Revelation, is death, physical death and spiritual death. Now, either you and I can pay the penalty or someone else can, but that someone else would have to be perfect, fulfilling the law, and that perfect person would have to be infinite to pay the sins of the whole world. And he was getting the point, and I explained Jesus alone qualifies. He alone can save. And for some reason, I said, Mary cannot save. Up until that point, Mary wasn't discussed, but the Holy Spirit moved me to say that. And he snapped and he said, I disagree. Mary can save. And I asked him, why do you say that? He says, because when my sister was in the hospital and she was pregnant and both her and the baby's life was at risk, she prayed the rosary with all her heart with other people in the family, and Mary healed her. In fact, the entire hospital ward smelled of roses one day, and everyone knows, even my evangelical friends know, that's a sign of Mary's presence. So Mary can save. And I took him back to what the Bible says, that Mary does not qualify as the Savior. She was a sinner. She didn't die for our sins. She didn't shed her blood. She didn't fulfill the Old Testament prophecies pointing to the Savior. And she didn't rise from the dead. So Christ alone did all this. But he was basing it on an experience. And this was a powerful experience because not only was there some sort of apparent healing, but the hospital ward had an aroma of roses, which is one of the common telltale signs of an apparition as you read the reports. So I say all that to say the people are drawn into it because of the natural senses. But this man, when he got convicted by the Holy Spirit of his sins, rather than repent, turn from those sins and trust the Savior, he can go to Mary. Why can he go to Mary? Because Mary doesn't say repent the way the Bible does. Repent and trust in Jesus alone. Mary, she'll say, make reparation for your sins, and to pay for your sins, you know, say a novena, say the rosary, go to Mass, do these various things. Well, that appeals to the flesh. That is something I can do, and I can still continue to do my sins, but every now and then I'll go to confession, every now and then I'll do something. And that's what I did for 20 some odd years. When I got real convicted, rather than repent and surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior, I would go to church, I would go through the routine, and then it would make my conscience feel a little better for a little while, but I was not saved. And that's the deception here, and that's why we're warning people, because we love them, and the Lord loves them, and this counterfeit is not going to satisfy. In fact, the counterfeit is out to kill and steal and destroy.
This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Jim address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Jim, this listener writes, I don't know that I've heard it on your program, but some apologetics groups are claiming that the Jesus Christ that Catholics worship is another Jesus. I believe that to be a rather reckless and foundless claim, as well as a great offense to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jim, as we mentioned in our earlier segment, we need to be honest, we need to be fair, we need to check things out. And I would say to this listener that if they go through all the claims that the Roman Catholic Church makes for Jesus, and then the only fair thing to do is then compare them with what the Bible teaches. And it's a little bit like trying to describe somebody. Jim, if I described my wife to you, and then you've later met my wife and you found out that my description was way off. Well, let's say some of the things were correct, but many were incorrect. Then you'd have to assume that I was speaking about somebody else, not indeed or in fact my wife. So, you know, that's a simple analogy, but I think it applies here. For example, Jesus claims, the Bible tells us, that he paid the full penalty for our sins on the cross, that there's nothing that we can do. And if I began to describe a Jesus that only did certain things to cover my salvation, that he did not pay the complete penalty, the full penalty, then you'd have to say there's a difference in those two Jesuses. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. And Paul warns of another Jesus in the book of Galatians. And the question I would ask the listeners is, do you think that the false Jesus is going to be similar to the true Jesus? Wouldn't the deception be the greatest if the false Jesus was similar? And of course, the answer is yes. And so Satan's deception often looks like the real thing. But as we use the Bible as the filter to test the claims of the Eucharistic Jesus, we find that this is not the Jesus of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Jesus himself said that there would be many false Christs that would come along down through history. I'm trying to think of another. I mean, there are many that come to mind, but I think the most obvious one would be the Jesus of Roman Catholicism, who a Roman Catholic priest is able to call down from heaven, transubstantiate into a piece of bread, and then deliver the piece of bread to the communion, the Eucharist is what I'm referring to here. And again, let's look at the scriptures. Is this what the Bible teaches? And it's not.
It's not. And, you know, there's so many verses, we don't have time, but I'll just read a few. In Acts chapter 7, verse 48, it says, "The Most High does not dwell in temples made with human hands." And of course, this is what the Eucharist is. It's prepared by human hands, and they're saying that Jesus is living in the tabernacle of the monstrance. Many, many verses talk about Jesus having ascended and is now at the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:21, Ephesians 1:20, Romans 8:34, many, many, many. The second commandment says, "You shall not make for yourself a graven image." So what is the Eucharist? If a priest can make a wafer and then say some words and it becomes Jesus, where is that in the Bible? It's not there. Some point to John chapter 6, where Jesus said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." But Jesus set the context by saying, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So he frames the context, not us. Mm-hmm. And he tells us that what he's saying is we must come to him. We must receive him into our hearts mm-hmm. spiritually.
In our earlier segment, as we were talking about apparitions, in many cases, these are apparitions that are officially recognized by the Roman Catholic Church. So the Jesus of the apparition many times appears as a infant, you know, or as a very young child. Now, you'd have to say that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible, as you mentioned, is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You know, when he left this earth, he was in his 30s. He appeared to John the Apostle, you know, in a different form. And again, you could definitely say that this infant or this child that appears in apparitions is another Jesus.
It has to be. Whenever Jesus appears after the ascension, he's an adult male. Glorified. When John sees him in the book of Revelation, he falls down. He's overwhelmed by the glorified Jesus. And no, this baby, this infant, that should warn every single person who's involved in these apparitions, no way, this cannot be from the true God. This must be a deception because Jesus is no longer a baby.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. You've been listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. And now, to tell you more about Reaching Catholics for Christ, here's Tom McMahon.
The primary mission of Reaching Catholics for Christ is to support former Catholics and other believers in their endeavor to personally minister the biblical gospel to their Catholic loved ones, friends, and acquaintances. Reaching Catholics for Christ is committed to increase the effectiveness of ministries which have been called to proclaim the biblical gospel to Catholics and to help such ministries educate the body of Christ as to the unbiblical nature of Roman Catholic salvation. Simply, Reaching Catholics for Christ is compelled by Christ's love to present the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, to those who are trusting in any means of gaining eternal life contrary to what the Word of God teaches. Our hope, prayer, and encouragement is that all who call themselves Christians will take to heart the words of Jesus. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Gary?
We offer a wide selection of teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org.
If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 3405. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.